forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. And that means so be it. So be it. We've been over the last few weeks thinking about Paul's letter to Timothy. And Paul was very much like a father to Timothy. And now Paul is sort of thinking in his head, it's time to pass the baton on. And the baton in this letter is to Timothy, but the baton to others as well. So in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about Timothy being entrusted to guard the gospel. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. And then last week, Roy really reminded us about being entrusted and equipped. Thank you, Roy, for taking these couple of verses and really refocusing us on God's word. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Remember, one of the reasons Timothy is writing this letter is to encourage him in the handing over of the baton, but also to challenge him in his discipleship and also in his leadership. And all of these words that Paul writes to Timothy are words for us as well. This morning, I want us to look again at a verse in 2 Timothy 1. I'm just going to remind you of 2 Timothy 1, 1, 2, somewhere or other. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then he draws breath. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's the verse I want us to think about this morning, to remind us to fan into flame the gift of God. You see, when I read Paul, and maybe you do this as well, I try to get into his head. You know, what's he thinking? What's lying behind what he says to Timothy? And it's interesting because he says, I remind you. A reminder. A thing that causes someone to remember something. Do we do this? The problem is, we put a string round our finger and we can't remember why we've got the string round our finger. Get to the top of the stairs with the string on your finger and you can't remember why you've gone to the top of the stairs. Maybe you're giving up on string round the finger. Maybe you're one of these sort of people, you know, that you can't beat a good old post-it note. Stick them all over the place and remind yourself. The biggest lie I tell myself is, I don't need to write that down, I'll remember it. Hands up, those people. Big lie. But here is Paul's reminder. Here's Paul telling Timothy to put a string round his finger or to stick a post-it note on his head or on his desk to remember something important. I don't think it was Paul giving Timothy a telling off. I don't think it was a wagging finger moment from Paul. I think it was a genuine, caring, pastoral moment when he just wanted Timothy to remember, to fan into flame the gift of God. Maybe Paul had noticed that Timothy was a little off colour spiritually. Maybe Paul wanted to give Timothy this reminder because he was very aware of what lay ahead, that it was an important thing to do. So I just want to remind you, Timothy. So this morning, Paul reminds us as well. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Fire. Fire is a very important metaphor for God right through the Old Testament. Metaphor for God, a symbol of his presence. Remember Moses and the burning bush. Remember the pillar of fire by night that led the Hebrew people to the promised land. And then in the New Testament, John the Baptist prophesies that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then came Pentecost. And that prophecy was fulfilled. Tongues of fire coming down on all of those people, on all of those first believers that were gathered in Jerusalem. I just wonder what that sounded like. I wonder what that looked like. And it sort of makes sense then that 3,000 of them, having been experienced the Holy Spirit, were baptized and the church was born. And they were on fire. They left Jerusalem and they legged it out there and they told the whole world about Jesus. We're a result of that, because at some point that message came to England. So it's the fire of God. I want to thank you very much for my fire pit. Some of you remember giving this to me as a 60th birthday present. Thank you, Kate, for getting it. It's brought me an immense amount of fun and pleasure, particularly over lockdown. I have become fire pit queen. And it's, you know, it's great because we start there, you know. I know it's a bag of coals, but, you know, needs must. I don't want to go through all that faff of going, you know, it's easier. You set it alight, easy. And then there's that moment when it absolutely takes off, that, you know, and that's a great moment, you know, when the bag is lit, you know. Don't ever go back to getting coals and doing it from scratch. Just go and buy those bags from Sainsbury's. You've got a fire, and then soon you're there. You've got your fish and your corn on that. And it's just great. But it reminds me, and here's a reminder, that the Holy Spirit is God's presence in our lives. He ignited our lives when we first asked him into them. That moment when the bag was lit and the flame was there. But also there's the reminder again to fan the Holy Spirit into flame. Note that Paul doesn't say that Timothy has to start a fire. He doesn't say to Timothy, go to Sainsbury's and get your bag of coals. He says to Timothy, you have to fan the flame. In actual fact, one version says, stir up that inner fire. Stir up that inner fire that God gave you. That's a J.B. Phillips translation. Or the New Revised Standard Version says this: for this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you. It's already there. through the laying on of my hands. I often wonder what happened to that first Pentecost crowd. They were on fire, 3,000 baptized, the biggest baptism service in the history of baptisms. Do you ever wonder, when Paul went around and he planted all those churches, that when he went back months or years later to visit those churches, what did he see? Did he see people that were still really on fire? Or did he see people that were really on fire that were now just going through the motions? And did he ever think to himself, where's their flame gone? What's happened? Maybe he went around, and that's why he said to Timothy, may I remind you to fan into flame. You see, meanwhile, back at my fire pit, leave my fire pit, leave it alone, and very gradually the fire will go out. And all that remains is the ashes. There is no more. Why? Because I haven't stirred up the fire. I haven't fanned the flame. I haven't kept an eye on the fire, because I need one of those bellows. Lovely word, bellows. And they just basically pump air into the fire and keep those embers alight. They fan the flame. What's your spiritual flame like this morning? Think back to the time when the Holy Spirit ignited your life and that flame was really burning. What's happened? Does it need a bit of fanning into flame? I was thinking about that this week. I was thinking about fanning into flame. You know who came into my mind? Miss Clara. I think Miss Clara was wonderful in War Room. If you remember all those years ago, Elizabeth was an estate agent, and she was tasked with selling Miss Clara's house. But Miss Clara had other ideas, and she started questioning Elizabeth about her faith. And Elizabeth answers to her, it's not hot, it's not cold, but in the middle. Let's watch this bit.
I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sounds good. Now, I ran a sales report from the area, wrote down a suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
Mm-hmm. And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God, just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee.
So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need it.
Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
If it's raining this afternoon, get your war room on. It'll be on YouTube. I'm sure it's a great film. You see, lukewarm happens. Hot, cold, lukewarm. It happens. Everything is hot when we first have our lives ignited by the Holy Spirit. But then it's hot too when we come back from Soul Survivor or we come back from Spring Harvest. We're hot. And then we find ourselves in this sort of life hamster treadmill, you know? And we're running around on that treadmill and things spiritual get put on hold. And our priorities change. And gradually over time, without us really thinking about it, Jesus is kind of out of the picture, like Elizabeth there in the war room. She's spiritual, but she's not hot. She's not cold. She's kind of somewhere in the middle. And yeah, priorities change, absolutely. And one of the things over the years that I've noticed in ministry, and it's been a tough one to watch, is that the priorities change. And it's hard because I see people who have been hot and I see them lukewarm. It's a difficult one to address, very difficult. And it's happening now. And we're blaming a pandemic for it, but it was happening before the pandemic. I've had lots of conversations in the last couple of months with other ministers in the borough or in London as well, and it's kind of worrying because they're all saying the same thing. They're all saying lukewarm, that church and faith and Jesus, they're there and thereabouts, but they're not a high priority because of what's happened now in the world, but what was happening. You see, so back to my fire pit, you can look at that picture and you can see some of the coals are aflame and they look hot. Others are just hanging in there, but some of them are absolutely cold. The cold ones need the hot ones. A coal to a coal reignites and fans the flame. And you know, you can watch as many online services as you dare to watch in 24 hours. You can get the best teaching on the web, believe me. But you can never, ever, and won't ever, and I challenge you to find it, you will never, ever find and reproduce the worshipping people of God together like this morning. You can't reproduce that. It's something unique. It's something encouraging. And it's something amazingly powerful. And that's what I missed in lockdown. Not your gorgeous faces. Well, that as well. But the togetherness of the church worshipping. Because worship together fans into flame the gift of God. Church on the sofa will never be the same as church in the sanctuary. I rest my case. But I listened to somebody years ago, this James Stewart Stewart. Fancy being called Stewart Stewart, but he was. When all is said and done, the supreme need of the church is the same in the 20th century as it is in the first. It is men and he didn't put women, but I did, and women on fire for Christ. I beg you not to commit the fearful blunder of dampening down that flame. It's time for all of us. We all need to do that bellowing. You have to give your spiritual life care and attention that the flame burns brightly. Back in the 1970s, this was the Matt Redman of the day. And I grew up with this guy, Keith Green. No, not personally, but with his cassettes. You remember? You put your cassette in the machine. And he was a great Christian singer. Brilliant. And sadly, he was killed in a plane accident. But his music lives on. And if you want to go to YouTube, you'll see all of his pieces. But I just want us to stop and just re-engage with this idea of fanning into flame. And I want you just to close your eyes and to listen to Keith Green and O Lord, You're Beautiful.
On Monday night this week, about midnight, I wrote a letter to the Lord. I didn't know where to mail it, so I put it in my Bible. And I asked him, Lord, you got to do something about my heart. You know, a lot of time's gone by since I met you. And it's starting to harden up. You know, it's just kind of natural. I want to have baby skin, Lord. I want to have skin like a baby on my heart. It's starting to get old and wrinkled and calloused. It's not because of anything I'm doing. It's because of a lot of things I'm not doing. And I stayed up till about 2 in the morning writing this song.
That once burned bright.
lamp of my first love that's fueled with holy fear. I wanna take your word and shine it all around, but first help me just never make a sound except to give all the glory to you. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek, for when your eyes are on this child, your faith abounds to me, to me.
Let's just have some stillness and just allow the Holy Spirit to rekindle your fire. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all that we seek. For when your eyes are on us, your grace abounds. So Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. Lord, we want to take your word and shine it all around. But first help us to just live it, Lord. And when we're doing well, help us never seek a crown, for our reward is giving glory to you. Amen. So Paul reminds Timothy that the Holy Spirit is God's presence, but he reminds Timothy to fan the Holy Spirit into flame. But there's one more reminder. Fanning into flame is important and matters to this world. You see, Paul didn't want Timothy sitting back and feeling complacent, job done. God doesn't want a bunch of dead coals sitting on purple chairs, because there's a purpose to our fanning into flame. And that is so that the world is able to see our flame. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. The gift of God, the Holy Spirit in your life. It's seen as the being as well as the doing. The being, fan into flame the gift of God, seen in the fruit that it produces. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those things. That's what the gift of God is in our lives. And it's what the world sees. But also, fan into flame the gift of God, seen in the doing. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. They're the being gifts. but they are the doing gifts as well. And every single one of us sits here this morning with gifts inside of us of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want those to just stay sitting on a chair. They are doing things. You never leave a gift unopened. If you do, you are bonkers. If you ever have had a gift and you said, oh, it's okay, I don't want that. Thank you very much. I'll just leave that for a few years and then one day I'll open it. No, crazy. Some of you open your presents 3 weeks before Jesus has been born. Why would you ever leave the gifts that God has given you, not might give you, has given you, it's in the present tense. Why would you ever leave those unopened? Don't, because he wants you to use them. When the fire of God falls and fills a man or woman, there is not only an enjoyment of God, but an employment for God. Simon Ponsonby. Great. What's this? You clever clogs out there. Jonathan? Oh, is he awake? Yeah, he is, yeah. What is it? Oh, I just asked the teenagers, because they're just about to do GCSE physics. So what is it, Adam? Don't know. It's what? Oh, it's what is it?
The theory of relativity.
Indeed. It's not just the theory, Einstein's theory of relativity, which says, it demonstrates that mass can be turned into energy which can be put to useful work. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit's fire converts the mass of the church to energy that's put to useful work. Brilliant. It makes sense, doesn't it? We're on fire. We don't want to stay here on fire because some health and safety person will come and make me write a policy. We get out there into the community and we show why we're about, what we're about. The Holy Spirit's fire converts us from sitting on chairs to actually doing. And I'll finish in Wales because it's always a very important place to go to. In 1904, an amazing thing happened in Wales. It got nothing to do with rugby at all, but Wales was set on fire for God. Not even Nancy was born by then. And Evan Roberts was one of the pastors there, and he wrote this: "The salvation of the human soul was solemnly impressed upon me. I felt ablaze with a desire to go through the length and breadth of Wales to tell of the Saviour." Folks, what's happened to Wales? You're driving around Wales now and you see all the chapels that are now dead and no more because the flame went out. Let's not let that happen in England at all, because we're entrusted to fan into flame the gift of God out there in our world. Are you with me with that? Wonderful. So we're going to go back into late 70s now with the song we're going to sing, because it just fitted so well. And then the band will finish off at the end. It's Let the Flame Burn Brighter. Let's stand.